As we did in Sunday school, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. We'll start reading in verse 25 and we will read through the end of this chapter. Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' For what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the ones coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still afar away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but even if salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now this morning in Sunday school we began looking at this passage together and considering what our Lord Jesus Christ says concerning the reality that a genuine believer is a follower of Christ, but he is a follower of Christ on Christ's terms, not his own. And so we considered together this topic of counterfeit Christianity compared to genuine disciples. We look together at the fact that Jesus Christ in chapter 14 is making his way to Jerusalem. And he is fully aware of what is to take place when he arrives there. He knew that when he arrived in Jerusalem, he would be handed over to the Gentiles. He would be mocked. He would be mistreated. He would be spit upon. And after they scourged him, they would kill him. He was fully aware of what lay before him. But now, as he's making his way to Jerusalem, we read that he's passing from one city and village to another. And we're even told what he's doing as he's making his way through these villages and towns. It says he was teaching. He was instructing. And as our Lord taught them, the people who heard were amazed. They were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not like their scribes. Matthew chapter 7. Luke tells us here that large crowds were coming along with him. We noticed that this morning. It's one thing to say there's a crowd of people, but then to say there's a large crowd of people, but then on top of that to say there's large crowds, plural, of people. He had a massive audience on this occasion. And Luke tells us that he stops, he turns, and he begins to speak. This time, He's chosen the topic of what is the true cost of being a follower of Jesus Christ. His desire is that this massive crowd would seriously consider the cost of following Christ. Following Christ not on what they believe is the correct way to follow Him, but following Christ the way that Christ says He's to be followed. Here are the terms if you're going to follow Me. And He gives them two illustrations to mark out the seriousness of this. The man who builds a tower, but he hasn't counted the cost, so he's unable to finish, and he's ridiculed. And the man who goes out to battle with his 10,000 men against an army of 20, and he doesn't count the cost, and at some point he realizes he better not go into battle against them and has to send a delegation to talk peace. We mentioned this morning that maybe for a while this man talked very high. We can get these guys. They don't stand a chance against us. And then he looks up and sees this massive army coming and says, "Hey, go talk peace." And he's ridiculed because he didn't take serious the cost that would be involved. And here our Lord reminds us, take this seriously. Read the fine print of what it truly means to be a follower of Christ. And recognize this. A disciple of Christ is a Christian. He's not a man who's on a higher level than what we might call a normal Christian. A disciple is a Christian, is a believer. Pastor Al Martin, I mentioned this morning as well in Sunday school, says this: "The empty hand of faith that reaches out to take the offered Savior and the salvation that is in Him is always accompanied with an attachment to the person of Christ on the terms that Christ has given. So wherever there is faith alone in Christ alone, based on the operation of the grace of God alone, there is an attachment to the person of Jesus Christ Himself, an attachment on Christ's terms and not our own." So in Sunday school this morning, we looked at the first term of an attachment to Christ, and that was this: there must be the highest love and devotion to the person and work of Christ. He says here in verse 26, "If anyone come after Me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple." And the key to just opening up that verse is given to us in Matthew 10, verse 37, where we read these words: "He who loves father and mother more than Me is not worthy of Me, and he who loves son and daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me." To be a follower of Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, means He's my highest treasure. He is the one that I love supremely, above any other love that I might have. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I love the people of God. But that love pales in comparison to my love for my Lord. And that must be so if we're truly Christ's disciples. So there must be the utmost love and devotion to the person of Jesus Christ. Now this morning we take up the second term placed upon those who come to faith in Christ. Those who are genuine believers. And the second term is this. There is to be a willing self-denial in a life that is loyal to Christ. There must be a willing self-denial in a life that is loyal to Christ. There is to be a willingness to suffer in a life obedient to Christ. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And there are a couple of things that I would have you consider with me this morning as we consider this second term of being one of Christ's disciples. First of all, he's to be a cross carrier. A cross carrier. Whoever does not carry his own cross. Now, every word of that statement is significant. You realize, I think it's 5 or 6 times in the gospel, our Savior refers to His followers as those who must take or carry or bear His own cross. If our Lord mentions that several times, we ought to take it seriously and we ought to ask the question, what exactly does that mean to carry our own cross? Well, the main object here is the cross. What does this object mean? Think of our Lord. He turns and He speaks to the crowd and He says to them, you must carry your own cross. What would that mean to the multitudes who were listening to Him on this occasion? What was the cross? Well, the cross was an instrument of death. It was an instrument designed to inflict an agonizing death. And those that Christ was now speaking to were very familiar with this object. Perhaps even as they were walking and following Christ as He's making His way to Jerusalem, they would have seen, walking on the road and entering into various cities and villages, they would have seen, literally, people hanging on a cross. They would have seen men hanging on a cross, either dead or dying. They would see individuals who had experienced a radical change from what they once were. They were once living their lives, doing their own thing, and now they pass from life unto death and dying. Hanging on a cross was the primary method that the Roman Empire used, not for a quick execution, but for a method of torture. Shame and public humiliation. It was a method that was forced upon those who would not submit to their authority. It would serve as a public reminder that this is what happens to those who will not submit to our rule or our authority. It was forced. Nobody volunteered. Nobody ever went to a Roman authority and said, hey, could I have my turn on the cross? Could you hang me out there so that when people come into our village, they'll see me? No one wanted to do that. The thought of a cross would bring to the minds of Christ's hearers that which is very difficult and very hard. So the cross, the main object of what our Lord is saying, was an instrument of death. But notice the main action. So what are they to do? What are they to do with this cross? A follower of Christ was to carry or bear his own cross. The language that our Lord uses here is language that would mean the carrying and the bearing of this cross on this occasion is not something that is forced. It is something that is voluntary. It is something that one is willing to do, to carry his own cross. He's to carry his own cross, not with the attitude that says, well, there's nothing else I can do. I am forced to take this action. But he does it willingly. Voluntarily. And oftentimes with great joy. Our Lord's call here is not a call to grin and bear it. Take up your cross. But it was to be deliberately and vigorously done. Take up the cross and carry it. You see, what our Lord is saying stands in contrast to the one whose forced submission by Roman authority is to be hung on a cross. This action of cross carrying is an act of the will, not one where one is forced to do something. Carry the cross is the main action. So we've seen the main object, the cross. We've seen the main action, carry, bear the cross. But the third thing I want you to notice about being cross bearers is this, the main focus. What cross are we to carry? Our Lord says, who carries his own cross. To carry his own cross. The focus of this cost is that every believer, every Christ follower, has their own crosses to bear. This is not some universal cross to bear, but each of us have our own crosses. Our crosses may be different. Some crosses may be a determination to follow the clear instruction of God's Word, though it may cause separation from loved ones. It may cost you that. Some of you may have experienced that, where your determination to be obedient to God has caused this division between sons and daughters, between parents. For some, that cross may be being passed over for a work promotion because of your determination not to violate your conscience by participation in that which is contrary to God's Word. You want that promotion? Well, then you need to at times be a little bit deceitful for the good of the company. You want that promotion? Well, maybe you need to do such and such in order to get it. And it's a violation of your own conscience in light of God's Word. And you must say, no, I won't do it. For some, that cross may be to stand firm on biblical convictions in a culture that disagrees. It may cost you. It may cost you when you've determined God says there are only two sexes, male and female. In a culture that says, come on! Everyone can determine it. No, no, God's determined. You'll be called intolerant, unloving. It may cost you. For some, it may mean the scorn of your children. Because you've determined to bring them up in the fear of God. And your 16-year-old thinks he or she knows far more than you do. And so even it may cost every Sunday morning some tension in the home because you say, no, we're going to worship God this morning. This is His day. And we're going to worship Him. And so you walk in here with a teenager who's like this. But you're saying, Lord, take the Word, break their hearts, and bring them unto yourself. When there's times when you think to yourself, would it be easier just to let them go? Just let them have their way. For some, it may be staying with a spouse that is very difficult to live with. But you're crying and saying, Lord, help me to love them. Help me to so live before them that they'll see Christ in all of His beauty. And may one day come to Him. Carrying that cross for some may be forgiving someone who has hurt them deeply. When He tells to carry your cross, He's not speaking about a minor inconvenience. I woke up this morning. Someone's here this morning. I woke up this morning and I stubbed my toe. And boy, does that hurt. Maybe that's the cost I have to pay to follow Christ. No, maybe that's the cost you need to do to pay attention to where you're walking. But when there becomes division between me and human relationships that I dearly love, that hurts. And that cost. Taking up the cross. Carrying the cross is often demonstrated in the battle that we have between our own flesh and what the Lord wants. There are times my flesh wants this. But God's Word says, no, this is how you're to live. And I must take up that cross. And I ought to do it willingly. I ought to do it with gladness. Remember in Hebrews, we read of our Lord, for the joy that was set before Him, what? He endured the cross. The truth of the matter is, as we live in this broken and evil world, as believers, we've been told time and time again, there are trials and tribulations you will face. I love the transparency of our Lord when He says to us, in this world, you will have tribulation. James says it this way, count it all joy when... I'm tempted to say, let's mark out when and say if. But the reality is, it's when you have tribulation. We live in a sinful world. We live in a broken, evil world. There are crosses we must carry. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, we're living sacrifices. And there are times that we just need to die to self. Deny ourselves. Do that which is contrary to what we may really like to do for the cause of Christ. That's what Matthew 16 and verse 24 tells us. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. But that denying of self and that carrying the cross isn't done with holding tight to the things we don't want to give up. But it's letting them go knowing that Christ is far better.
Amen.
Look over at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Starting at verse 5, or starting at verse 3, Colossians 3, starting at verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, greed, which amounts to idolatry. Consider the members of your body as dead to that which is evil, and pursue God. Leon Morris, commenting on taking up the cross, says, Jesus was speaking about a death to the whole way of life. He's talking about the utmost in self-sacrifice, every death to selfishness, and all the forms of self-seeking. That's carrying the cross. But for the believer, we do it willingly and gladly. And we can even do it with joy because of what we have in Christ Jesus. I got a phone call a week or so ago from a young single gal in the church, and she was telling me about the trials she was passing through. And I appreciate her honesty because she said to me, Pastor, my Bible tells me to count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I find no joy in this. I find absolutely no joy in this. And my answer to her is, the joy is not found in your circumstances. Your joy is to be found in the God who rules over those circumstances and has a purpose and a plan for everything He brings into your life. I did not tell her, well, just be happy, happy, happy. The joy comes in knowing God. So we're to crucify the flesh. A true Christ follower is one who willingly takes up the cross and denies himself for the glory of God. A.W. Tozer said, to be crucified with Christ means three things. Number one, a man who is crucified is facing only one way. He's facing only one direction. Number two, a man who is crucified is not going back. He says goodbye. He's not going back. And number three, he has no future plans of his own. He's died to self. And the cross and the cost of a true disciple of Christ is a willingness to deny self in a life that is loyal to Christ. And that brings us to the second point. He's not only a cross carrier, but he is a Christ follower. Again, our text says, whoever does not carry his own cross and what? Come after me. He is a Christ follower. He's not called simply to deny himself and leave it there, but he is called on to follow Christ. It's carrying the cross by following in Christ's steps. In the first century, rabbis did not recruit students the way modern teachers might do. A disciple walked behind a rabbi. He would walk behind him from place to place. And he would learn from him. And he would be taught by him. And he would imitate his life. And he submitted to his authority. So when our Lord is speaking to this mass crowd, and he says to them that they're to follow after Christ, that has a ring to it that they would understand. That means I'm following after Him. I'm listening to Him. I'm learning and being instructed by Him. I'm imitating Him. I submit to His authority. That's what it means to follow after or come after. It is a life that is attached to Christ in obedience and devotion and loyalty and even imitation. See, Christ doesn't want just a convoy of followers who marvel at His deeds, but fail to follow His example. So even our Lord, I believe, this procession He imagined to be a rare sight. Disciples following after their Master, carrying their own cross. The imagery means that disciples must obey His teaching, both what He says and how He lives. It means they must imitate Him. He wants to go where He goes. They want to act like he acts. They want to walk like he walks. They follow his example. They learn from his teaching and they follow his example. It means they will obey his commands, keep faithful to his instruction. It means they're set apart from the Lord, for the Lord. I love the Apostle Paul. There in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, you want to know about my life? You want to know what life is like? What it's supposed to be? And I can imagine those listening to the Apostle Paul at this time say, oh yeah, let me get my pen out. This is going to be good stuff. And they think he's going to go on this discourse about life and how to live it. And so I imagine the church there at Philippi, they've got their pens and papers ready to go to make sure they get it all down. And he says, life? Christ. Life? Christ. That's what he says. We read it, for me to live is Christ. But it's really just life? Christ. He was set apart for our Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. You've been called for this purpose. To follow in his steps. That includes carrying the cross. As our Lord did. I imagine many of you are familiar with Jim Elliot, a martyr for his faith. That he wrote in his diary these words. God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life, that I may burn for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus. Isn't that an interesting thing that he wrote in his diary? And then martyred for his faith. I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. As he walked. And so from this text, from our Lord's instruction, can we imagine as he turns around and he speaks to the people, he's told them, first of all, hate mother, father, son and daughter. And then he turns and says this. If you're going to be my disciple, you must carry your own cross and follow after me. Follow after me. Now listen, man is saved by God's grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. The gospel is offered freely to the worst of sinners, and it's offered to sinners without money and without price. I so appreciate Pastor Mike's instruction as he read the Word of God and he reminded us that God saves the chief of sinners. He does not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came in the world to save sin. And Christ is our only hope by which we can be reconciled to God. That's it. That if we're going to be followers of Christ, it will demand that you love Him and are devoted to Him above everything else. And it will also demand that you carry the cross and follow after Him. There's one more, but you have to come back tonight to get that one. Let me close by quoting J.C. Ryle. He says this, "They must be content to take up the cross of doctrine and the cross of practice, the cross of holding the faith which the world despises, and the cross of living a life which the world ridicules as to strict and righteous overmuch. They must be willing to crucify the flesh, mortify the deeds of the body, fight daily with the devil, come out from the world, and lose their own life, if needful, for Christ's sake and the gospel." He goes on to say this, "If we will not carry the cross, we will never wear the crown." Dear people, cross carrying is but a few years. The glory at the end is eternal. So again, J.C. Ryle says, "Happy is he who thoroughly understands that though Christianity holds out a crown in the end, it brings also a cross in the way." You say you're my disciple? Then there must be the highest love and devotion to the person of Christ. And there must be a willing self-denial in a life loyal to Christ. Let's pray. Father, again, we're thankful for the instruction that we receive from Your Word, and just the reminder of the terms by which You have set down for those who are truly and genuinely Your disciples. And Father, while many of us would confess that we need to grow and we need to excel in these areas, yet, Father, we pray that there is at least a trace of these realities as we live in a broken and an evil world. And Father, we pray for some who may be among us who know You not, that at first they may see that, man, carrying the cross is hard. It's challenging. It's difficult. Why would I want to do that? And yet may they see that this is not the end of the story. There's a glory that's yet to be revealed, and only those in union with Christ will experience that. May they flee to Christ today. So take Your Word, make it effective, give an increase for Your glory and for Your honor, as we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.